Welcome back to, so you've been asked to give a message. We've been talking about conclusions and what makes an effective conclusion after looking at that whole list of things not to do in a conclusion. And we've got quite a list at this point. Here's where we were last time, that idea of making an appeal. Well, there are other ways, too, to end with Scripture. Sometimes you can be talking about something and end with a powerful section of Scripture. I remember one woman did this very, very effectively when she was talking about, you know, the God Jesus building his kingdom in this world and the reaction in heaven. And she concluded with this passage from Revelation 19. Then I heard what sounded like a crowd, like a sound of roaring waterfall, like loud peals of thunder. I heard them say, "Praise God, for the Lord, our Almighty God, is King. Let us rejoice and be glad. Let us praise his greatness." Wow. That's a powerful ending to a message. It's a powerful introduction, call to worship for at the beginning of a service. But sometimes finding a scripture passage that just relates just tremendously effectively to the other stuff you've been talking about can be marvelously concluding to what you've been saying, and gives opportunity for people to reflect and cement your message in their hearts and their minds. So think about scripture passage. One of my favorites is casting a vision. And casting a vision in the conclusion simply means, can you imagine? Can you imagine if we lived out this message? Can you imagine what this would mean for families in this community? Can you imagine fathers and caring about their children? Can you imagine the end of divorce in this community? Can you imagine, you know, more than 50% of children growing up without a father in their child, in their household, impacting them? Can you imagine if we were able to make an impact on the family as we build this new family center, as we begin this new ministry? Can you imagine what that would do? Can you imagine what would happen in this community if we were absolutely able to do this program? If we were, what might happen? You know, if you begin with one program, for instance, in our area, there's a program called Kids Hope, which matches one church with one school, with one adult, one student, 1 hour per week, all of those ones. And imagine the impact in this community if we as a church could take on 50 kids, and change their lives. Imagine what's going to happen in the future as they begin families, as they come to know faith in Jesus Christ. Imagine what could happen in those instances. You know, that's powerful stuff. That's powerful stuff. And if you can combine that with a story, wow, that's something. You know, I had the privilege of working with a kid who came to faith. Both of his parents died in the period that I knew him, and as a result, he was put up for adoption, and it was a messy, messy court thing with other people in the family. And the impact that I had on him during that time, but then the impact of our church with all of these kids, how we had people signing up for one, because they caught the vision. What a difference it made. This young man who is at risk, in other words, at risk of not graduating from high school, I mentored him in fifth grade, graduated from high school, moved to California, was starting a family. What a difference from what he had come from, a family where both parents dealt drugs, and one was had a chronic illness, da-da-da-da-da. And there was new hope. That's a vision. Imagine what could happen in our church. You know, imagine if we caught the vision here of you know, becoming a church that actually did this. You know, or we want to read through the all of the New Testament. That was one of our challenges one year. We want to read through all the New Testament together. Imagine what will happen if we all together are sharing that in small groups as well as our individual reading. Imagine what could happen to the spiritual vitality of this church. Imagine what could happen in the world if we're to send this person or begin this mission. Or what could happen in this mission if we could do those kind of visionary kind of statements. They're powerful in conclusion. One of my statements often to my staff, it was the fact that money is attracted to one of two things. Need. Is there a great need that can be met here? Or is there a vision for something that's great? Well, this is on the second part of that. When people are attracted to a vision, and so if you give them a vision of what could happen if we really took God seriously, it's a powerful, powerful conclusion to your message. Another kind of effective conclusion is encouragement. You know, encouragement. I heard a message recently about that where, you know, it was a message about people who, again, were going through a rough time. And I, you know, gave the example of in discouragement, saying, well, you know, nothing to do. But the message that I heard, it was from Mark Batterson, who's a pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. And he talked about the fact that, you know, but wait. You know, things that you think you might have to wait a while, but God is at work. And he gave several examples of how God can be at work. And so hang in there. Be encouraged. Know that behind the scenes that you can't even see it, God is at work. And then, finally, the piercing question. You know, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? It's a piercing question. Present Jesus and salvation. The choices are here. Heaven, hell, what are you going to do with it? Here's our options as a church. We can go this way into this new idea, this new vision, or we can go that way and we'll probably just waste away as a church. Piercing question is a great way to end a message. Now, I don't have slides for this next part, but what I want to emphasize in this next part is simply using your body. There is a rule in rhetoric. It was discovered by a man who studied speeches years and years ago. It's called the 7-35-55 rule. And that is that 7% of your communication are the words that you use. 38% are the tone of your voice. 55% is your body language. 55%, imagine that, 55%. And so when you're thinking about your message, think about how you're using your body. Now, the best, you know, gestures are the ones that come naturally. You know, like you're talking with a good friend, and you'll do what I do with my hands. You talk about encouraging someone, or you talk about, you know, it was big. It was those kind of gestures that are normal and natural are the ways that you do these sorts of things. But then there are those things that you've got to avoid. One is saying things like you know, I know a person that will say that 50 times in a 5-minute message, and it just kind of like. Another one is, you know, queer examples of just tics that you have. You know, I remember seeing a speaker once, and he'd take his glasses off and put them back on, and then that speaker reached down, and he pulled up his socks, and it was like just like nervous tics of some kind. And you'll see this often. You know, I see it often with women speakers that they'll be doing something with their hair. I wish I had that much hair to do something with, but it becomes a tick and it can become distracting. Putting your hands in your pockets is distracting. People are going to wonder, what's in his pocket? What's in his pocket? And I know of one preacher who kept a rock in his pocket to touch while he preached so that, you know, he would, Jesus is the rock. One of the things he was trying to emphasize in his entire ministry. So this was his reminder to remember to emphasize Jesus. But one of the staff people met him after all the services. What is in your pocket anyway? That's what people are thinking. If you've got your hand in your pocket, don't put your hand in your pocket. Don't put your hand on your hips and lean forward. That's that kind of thing of a mother, a very angry mother, talking to her children. Now, you might want to do that as an example, but don't adopt that as your way of speaking. If you're speaking, whether you're sitting down or standing up, don't slouch. Knock the microphone off. Don't slouch in your message. Because if you're slouch, you know, people are going to think you don't really care about what you're talking about. You know, I did, once I was a part of our denomination, I was a chairman of our missions board, which supervised missions throughout the United States and Canada. And I was asked to do a videotape back then, encouraging people to give to church planting. So a team came to record me in my office, and I had what I thought was a really engaging, I had an ancient watch that was part of my grandfather's uncle, so it was an old thing, and I used that as an example to start. And I gave what I thought was a pretty good message, but then it came when they gave me part of the recording. I thought, I don't want this to be seen anywhere, because I was kind of sitting there, kind of slouched down, talking. And it was like I wasn't engaged in the message myself. And I said, hey, wait a minute, why didn't they say something? When you're standing, don't slouch. Stand up straight. Stand with your feet placed apart. Watch out. It's good to do a recording of yourself. Have a friend record you, or you can set your phone up on a stand and record yourself just to see if you've got any irritating kind of gestures. And then when you do gestures, natural ones are the best, but there are ones that you can be thinking about along the way that you can maybe pattern. For instance, if you're talking about a number, you might say there were two of them. Now you use the number. If you're talking about a direction, say they went off. They went off. And or if you're talking about heaven, they went to heaven. Or if you're talking about this life, I saw one speaker do this so well one time. He went to one side of the building, of the auditorium, and he said, let's picture, all of eternity. And he walked from one side to the other. And then he came back to the middle. And he said, if that's all of eternity representing that, he said, this speck, and he had a sharp pointed pencil, is your life. People had the visual in their mind. Use visuals in your gestures, things like that, that says, here it is. When you make gestures, go from your shoulders, not your elbows, is a general direction, so that it's big. If you're speaking to someone, it should be something big. Now, those are just some other things. You can check out my blog for more reflection on that. In fact, I'm writing that series right now. I want to conclude with the fact that giving a message, especially if you're preaching, is one of the greatest things on earth that you can do. It is something that God uses. How can people hear if no one preaches, is the way Paul put it. How can they hear if no one preaches? You get to be a channel of the Holy Spirit that can change a person's life. You can bring the word to them in such a way that maybe people get hope who need it. People who are hurting might begin a process of healing. People who are away from God may find their way back to God. There might be a revival starting in somebody's heart and life because you've given them the word. This thing that we call preaching is incredibly, incredibly powerful. And I'm glad that you are asked to give a message or that you're thinking about giving a message. I hope that what I've given you in these sessions will be helpful. Again, I encourage you, if you want to know more, the class is free at CLI on preaching and preparing preaching, etc. messages, and I encourage you to go there. But know that you're part of a long tradition of a way that God has used to change the world. And know that he can do it again through the power of the Spirit. I want to conclude with just a story about the worst message I ever preached. It was Christmas time. I wasn't scheduled to preach in the evening service in our church. We had a missionary coming, and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon got a call that he couldn't come. And so I said, that's okay. I'll haul something out of my file, right? I had a meeting until about 4. Our evening service started at 6. And I got done, went home quickly, got out my file, and found there's nothing in here worth using. It was Advent season. We were trying to emphasize the coming of Jesus. And so I got up and I preached, on Emmanuel, God with us. And that's about all I said for 20 minutes. And I walked out of the church. It was our practice to stay and shake hands at the end, and I didn't even bother with that. I walked out. I got in my car, got home, went home and said, I don't care if I preach again, much less come back next week. And during that week, some women from our church got in a car accident. They were part of a group that traveled to play bunco. They went a car game from one house to houses. They get group that gather, quite a large group. And they were on their way, 4 women in a car, and they were in a very serious accident. And it was so serious that the car was crumpled to the extent that the police came and firemen came and they couldn't get the car open to get them out. So they had to call for the jaws of life, this powerful tool that would rip the doors off. And so that's how they got rescued. I didn't even know about this till the next day. one of the women called me and said, we got in this terrible accident. She said, but what I want you to know is that the only thing that kept me sane while we were waiting for that 20, 25 minutes for the jaws of life to arrive was Emmanuel, God with us. Know that as you prepare, God wants to use you in a powerful way. Let him do it. Use the tactics and the skills and the things that I've shown you here. But be praying that God will be the one who speaks through his Holy Spirit through you. I hope you have a great experience speaking in the name of Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity.